Here,
start
Reavers.
The show.
Let's go here.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1,261.
Being Reeves.
March 7th, 2024. 73 degrees on this day on two occasions, 1987 and the year 2000. That's 2 years in a row for 2000. We had a pleasant spring. And 16 below on this day in 1960.
Hail the Flashlight King.
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the Keeper of Common Sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
We're joined by Jim Schultz. Jim is currently the president of the Minnesota Private Business Council, but much to my regret and many others, he is not the attorney general. How are you, Jim?
I am doing well, guys. It's great to be on with you again, Mayor. How are you?
Good. You've written a piece warning about the pitfalls of Minnesota becoming a sanctuary state. Is there, in fact, a bill proposing that in the legislature?
Yes, in fact, co-sponsoring in both the Senate and the House to make Minnesota a sanctuary state. Believe it or not, there was another op-ed and response to mine writing about this yesterday in the Star Tribune. You know, arguing that Minnesota should be a sanctuary state despite catastrophe that it's been in every state that's embraced it around the country.
Why should we not? I don't want to, but explain to us why this is a bad idea.
Yeah, so a few things. So, you know, a number of state jurisdictions have done this, and basically what it does is it says that no state officials can cooperate with federal immigration authorities in terms of enforcing our immigration laws. That's a terrible thing for many reasons. One, it incentivizes the illegal immigration that has left us with 9 million illegal immigrants in our country since Joe Biden's been in office, that has massively burdened our public services, that have in some cases led to dramatically increases in violent crime, and all the things that we've seen. And I believe it's $4 billion that the city of New York is going to have to spend dealing with their migrant crisis. And so what it does is, you know, when you embrace these policies, it says to migrants who are considering coming to the United States or illegal immigrants who are here, it says you have to come to our jurisdiction because we won't partner with federal immigration authorities to be deported. And so it creates massive burdens on public systems, and it's just wrong. I mean, we should cooperate with federal authorities in enforcing the basic laws of our country. And it is bizarre that we have people in our legislature and elsewhere who want to embrace this policy. Last session, they delivered free health care and free college education to illegal immigrants as well, in another bizarre policy. But it's these types of policies that have created the crisis we now face with just millions of illegal immigrants in our country.
The governor of Arizona just vetoed a bill that would have allowed Arizona police officers to arrest illegal immigrants. She vetoed the bill.
Is that right? Is that right? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and nobody hates illegal immigrants. You know, they should be treated with respect and so forth. These are human beings. But we're a country, and we've got to protect our citizens. We've got to protect scarce resources. The idea, for example, that, we've got people struggling to make ends meet to send their kids to college, and instead of helping them do that, we're giving, scarce resources to send illegal immigrants to college. I mean, it's kooky. And this is the sort of stuff that's coming through our legislature right now.
Do you know who has authored the bill?
I believe it's Omar Fateh in the Senate, and a woman who in the House. I can't remember her name right now. But
look that up,
many,
will you, Rook?
Many DFL folks have gotten behind it. And it's unclear the trajectory that it will go. But I think 19 people in the House have backed it, and that's a substantial portion of the House caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in keeping with a lot of what we've seen from this. Kind of
Sandra Feist is the other author.
Sandra Feist.
Yeah, Sandra. Yes, yeah. And they've got a lot of people alongside them. It's in keeping with, you know, what we've seen from this legislature. I mean, it's this far-left trifecta. Right now, I mean, this isn't the DFL of, 1995. This is, a ideologically far-left set of folks. And, whether it be stuff like this or...
Jim, what do they want? What does this trifecta ultimately want? Do they have an end game?
That's a good question. Do they have an end game? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's a little bit, progressivism, generally. It's it's always on to the next thing, deal with some inequity or real or perceived. And so I don't know that they have an end game other than broadly, I mean, it's just this kind of, end goal of equity, that's just kind of a, common thing that they, push. So it's not about, creating jobs and economic growth where, because in that system, people have disparate results and people are less successful than others and stuff. It's all about these days for them, distributing, a fixed pie of resources to the people that they perceive to be
oppressed,
underprivileged, yeah. And so forth. Exactly. Yeah. And so you can see all these things like, giving money away to, $1 billion to nonprofits totally unaccountably to, deal with various ills, instead of just the obvious things like you give tens of millions of dollars to deal with crime to nonprofits in our state, instead of just like funding our police forces adequately and supporting them and making sure we've got the cops we need.
And we can't count on a governor to veto this. He'll go along with it. That would be my prediction. This would just introduce more chaos to the Twin Cities.
100%. I mean, that's one thing. Tim Walz, he's a guy who's, was kind of a, he wasn't, super far left when he was, in Congress. But boy, he's gone along with everything that the legislature has put in front of him essentially. I haven't seen if he's announced his position on this, but I would be surprised if he didn't go along with it.
Is there anything, citizens can do, which almost seems like a stupid question, no matter what the citizens want, they don't get it. But is there anything the citizens can do about this?
I would say, the bread and butter democracy, calling your legislature to tell them this is outrageous.
We can't afford it. Let's start with that. We can't afford it.
Yep. Can't afford it. It's unsafe. We just saw in Georgia a couple of weeks ago a young woman killed by an illegal immigrant. It's a, and you're right, we can't afford it. I mean, it's crazy that it's even being contemplated, and this is an issue that kind of cuts apart across party lines now. I mean, it used to kind of be, being firmer on illegal immigration used to be, kind of more of a Republican thing, but now moderates and even a lot of Democrats are saying, this is not sustainable to basically deliver the message to the world that if you make it to the United States, whether legally or illegally, that you get to stay, and you'll even have the benefit of the prospect of substantial, public welfare and so forth, it's starting to cut across party lines because it's just one of those common sense.
So you had asked about the end game earlier, Joe, and Feist, who is an immigration attorney, had the following to say, quote, "We don't want to waste our precious resources on enforcing a broken federal immigration system," Feist said. "It's a really big priority for me this session because Donald Trump has said that he wants to marshal state and local resources to enact his immigration vision. And he said that vision includes rounding up immigrants and putting them in massive camps, including immigrants in the United States. And this may be our last opportunity to pass a law like this that would ensure that the state of Minnesota is not complicit in that vision."
Mm-hmm.
There's your answer.
Mm-hmm. Jim, are you going to keep hectoring on this? Are you going to keep up the good fight?
Yeah, I mean, this issue is a really important one, and it's really important that this legislation is killed. And then just more broadly, you know, I'm going to stay in the fight. You know, my organization, we advocate for sensible policies around the economy, sensible policies around crime and otherwise. And so we're out there, you know, fighting every day on a lot of different issues. And, you know, I want to, you know, this state, you know, we're sprinting to become, you know, totally dysfunctional states like Illinois or California.
Yep.
And, you know, as you alluded to earlier, after what was a really painful loss for me in that attorney general's race, I thought a lot about kind of what I wanted to do. And I had a lot of opportunities to go into the private sector and things. And I decided to build this along with some others because, you know, this state, you know, right now is on a path towards towards being like an Illinois, a totally dysfunctional state where businesses are fleeing, people are fleeing, where people don't have the opportunities that they should have. And there's 5.5 million people in this state who deserve better than what we currently have. And we have to have people, you know, that make some personal sacrifices, put themselves out there a little bit to put the brakes on what is becoming increasingly unhinged leadership in our state.
Might you run again for office?
You know, it's possible. For the big gating thing, and I want to stay in the fight in one way or another, big gating thing for running again would be on the family side. I've got I've got the young daughters. They're now 8, 5 and almost 3. Running a statewide race in particular, it just is incredibly burdensome on the family. It just takes a lot out of you. And, you know, and as my daughters get older and the prospect, in some ways, last race was easier because all the nastiness was over their head and stuff. And as my girls get into middle school and stuff like that, it's just kind of a different proposition. And then just, you know, my wife Molly and I, you know, ultimately having to you know, think through it and get, you know, and be on the same page, you know, about it. I want to stay in the fight one way or another, and just an open question of whether or not that'll be elected office or seeking elected office or not. But, you know, the state just desperately needs different leadership because, you know, we're living in just a very strange time where the assortment of crazy, reckless, irresponsible policies that we're getting from our legislature is really remarkable, really disturbing. And we have to, you know, we need the leadership, good cannon to step forward and fight back. And so,
and that's evidenced in the response that they wrote in this week's op-ed, Omar and Sandra. It looks like medicated babbling. It's just nonsense. The only thing that made really any sense is the part that Chris read. Only, Chris, you got it wrong. We're supposed to refer to them as new Americans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, Jim, yeah. I was going to ask you, at one point she's rambling on about the current law and how local law enforcement is burdened with going after these folks. Is that, in fact, true? I had not heard that local law enforcement was, in fact, burdened by chasing down illegal immigration.
Well, yeah, it's not true, and you know how that's not true is that there's no folks in law enforcement, and there's no law enforcement agencies in the state that are backing this.
Right,
if it was such a burden, right? They'd be all over this, and no, they're not, and they're not for a variety of reasons. One of which is one very really kind of strange element of this. Of this bill is that, you know, say you've got a violent criminal that's, you know, committed a state crime, you can't even, you know, you can still prosecute, you know, them as, you know, as a legal immigrant, but you can't even let the federal officials know that this is an illegal immigrant, this person who's committed a violent crime, so that they could be deported and gotten out of the country. I mean, it's just totally, totally bizarre. Well, I mean, that's obviously something that an option that local authorities would want to have. And so, it is not true. This is just kind of a spin from them. It is not true that local officials want this. There's, you know, probably a sheriff or a police chief somewhere that you would find it to do it, but not broadly. And so it's just it is emphatically not accurate.
Jim, it's funny that you brought up violent crime because whoever wrote this concocted this absurd scenario where imagine you are the victim of a violent crime and the only witness was an immigrant and they would be afraid to come forward as a witness in your behalf if in fact dot 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 blah 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 nonsense nonsense nonsense. The whole thing is absurd and they barely mention money and they're more worried about Trump than anything else.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, and I don't have to imagine, the public safety, a counter argument there. We literally had a couple weeks ago a young woman killed in Georgia. We had in Virginia, I believe, a man sexually assaulted someone. We had, this isn't some hypothetical scenario.
Cops in New York City.
Real things.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Well, we had the story in Iowa last summer of a 22-year-old out for a jog, and she was raped and killed.
Mm-hmm. New Americans, Chris.
New Americans.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It's a variety of. It's funny how they. Yeah, we can't say illegal immigrants anymore. I mean, people like make it sound like it's so bad. Like we can respect these people. These are human beings and so forth. Well, just simply saying that, look, we have a country. We've got duties to our citizens first as a country and have scarce, resources that are scarce and so forth. And what's really troubling to me too is, what they did last session, as we talked about with the, free healthcare and free college for people. I mean, it's totally unfair, totally unjust to say that, the guy who's, scrape guy or gal who's trying to put together, resources for college for their kids that, instead of, helping him pay for it, that we're helping, illegal immigrants, go to college for free. It's a variety of different policies here that suggest that people in our legislature are more concerned about the care of our illegal immigrants than our own citizens.
Jim, let's stay in touch.
Yeah, well, thank you, Joe. It's great to be on. As you know, I'm a long time listener from my dad's garage growing up, and so would love to stay in touch, and we'll certainly continue listening to you guys.
Thank you, sir. All right, Jim Schultz.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, who
was
defeated by Keith Ellison. Unfortunately, he's now in the private sector for private business, Minnesota.
It would be one thing if these legislators didn't have evidence that this is a catastrophe waiting to happen. You've seen how many other states that are currently in crisis. New York had to call in the National Guard to protect the freaking subway.
Did you ever think you'd live in the United States where the New York National Guard had to patrol the New York subway system?
No.
No, that can't be. That's not all illegal immigrants they're patrolling for.
Oh, you don't think that had a helping hand?
It had a helping hand, but the crime in New York is rampant. Did you ever think you'd live in a country where to go buy toothpaste, it would be locked up behind plexiglass? That's not illegal immigrant. The whole fabric of our moral and ethical integrity has been severely strained. Now, you get back to Omar Fateh and this Sandy Feist and the rest of the Mysterians. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that when they use the term new Americans, that's exactly what they mean. Mm-hmm. They would just as soon have that group, not born here, not embracing the conventions and traditions and rituals of America, not embracing the Constitution of America, they would just as soon have a new America.
Yeah,
and that's the mystery in a nutshell. We've said all along that the mystery is the attempt to bring about a country that you wouldn't recognize, and I believe that what you wouldn't recognize is the country they imagine. You and your wife and your kids going to school and, as a homeowner or you, Rook, or any of us, this is not the Americans they want. We are not the Americans they want.
Oh, the ones that pay the taxes?
Right. They don't want that.
Oh.
And again, I don't think this is hyperbole. When they don't have any money, I don't know what their position will be then, because they won't have any money, because the new Americans are not going to produce much tax revenue. And so I don't know where they are when they don't have any money. But they'll get to that point. If their wishes are fulfilled, they'll get to the point where they don't have any money, but they'll look out over a sea of new Americans, and they can do that from their new office building, because it's going to have a grand
balcony
yeah, where they can stand really nice. and look out over the poor and bedraggled who are not new Americans. They're the Americans that were left over and trampled by the new Americans.
Yeah. The blatant and swaggering ignorance, though, and Chris brought up evidence in other areas that it's not working. That doesn't matter. I mean, they don't look to China or Russia or any of these communist countries to see that socialism isn't working. It'll work just fine here. So they're just so stupid.
Well, Omar went down to Cuba. She thought it was great.
I'm on redfin.com. Do you guys think Hubbard would build me a studio if I moved to South Dakota? Would that be allowed?
Well, let me tell you something.
What city?
I'm going straight to Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls.
I'm not joking.
You know what? A better tax climate. Better for business. We have the 45th worst tax climate in the U.S.
Yay!
Sioux Falls has the second best tax climate in the nation. If you're thinking about changing locations in 2024, you really should check out what Sioux Falls has on their website for you. SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. That's one word. SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. It almost sounds like a slice of Americana that is fading from our view. Safer streets and great schools and short commutes, and the downtown is vibrant. There's a pro-business attitude. These are all attractive reasons to make your move, but particularly the taxes. Escape the high taxes of Minnesota. I got a note from a guy. This has nothing to do with Sioux Falls, but I got a note from a guy who's down in Florida for the winter. And he can fish for free because he's over the age of 65. Okay. And just for the hell of it, he checked Minnesota. When do I get a free license in Minnesota? You have to be 90 before you stop paying for a fishing license in Minnesota.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, look at Sioux Falls. Maybe 2024 is the time to make your move. Check out SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times. And that's why you need the best and also somebody that you can trust. And that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute no obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell them you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Souchere.
Well, if you've been sifting through your carpet, your air ducts, you realize that they need to be cleaned. And right now, spring is a great time to get the entire house cleaned. And Zero Res can certainly help you with that. I want you to save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush with these limited time offers from our cleaning heroes at Zero Res. What are they? Well, there's Zero Res. First, let me tell you about the Gotta Love It guarantee. They're going to take care of you. They guarantee their work. Secondly, check out the 17,000 raving customer reviews online, 4.9 Google rating. See what all the hype is about. It's super easy. This month, here's your special. 3 rooms, Zero Resified, and from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129, and take $75 off your air duct cleaning and 20% off all upholstery. You owe it to yourself this spring and your family to breathe happy, healthy, clean air. Call Zero Res right now when you get through the paperwork, 952-ZEROREZ, or go online to MinnesotaZeroRes.com and tell them you want the Suchi Shuffling Paper Special, spelled forward or backward, it spells the same, Zero Res.
Unlike Royce, Joe loves paperwork.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't like
paperwork.
I don't like paperwork.
He would just soon give a car away rather than sign his name to something.
I don't want to deal with paperwork. Yeah.
So I got a couple of notes before I resume. Joe, since we will never have another winter after we get through this historic and unprecedented one, does it also mean that me and Kenny's favorite two-month-long Garage Logic opening segment about ice outs are coming to an end? If this is in fact the end, could you possibly make this daily GL feature even more fact-filled and twice as long ever for us ice out lovers? I'm sure Kenny would appreciate it too. Staring in anticipation across the front yard at my semi-frozen lake, Joe from up north. I think he was... I don't think he likes the ice out, Dave.
He brings up a good point. I'm wondering, what are you going to do when lakes, the ice goes out, but then it gets so cold that it refreezes? So are we going to be doing multiple ice outs? Because that's what we really, really want. We want two or three ice outs per lake. And, you know, maybe start now and go through May.
Tommy writes, I work for a North Metro city. Not sure our rink costs, but the math didn't add up with Minneapolis. Last year, I saw Minneapolis parks workers flooding rinks with a sprinkler when it was 40 degrees. Yep. So maybe the cost does make sense. The $750,000 for 7 days of skating.
The best part's the guy in the shorts doing the job, mm-hmm. though.
The state of the state is tonight. President Biden will be watched, I'm sure.
The Union. State of the Union.
I'm sorry. State yeah. of the Union. Yeah. And I, unlike a lot of people, I think he'll get through it just fine. And here's why. There's so many.
We don't know that.
But they'll applaud him every 10 seconds.
Okay.
And that'll allow him to gather his thoughts and present good his point. Remarks. So
I no think big he, words? Do you predict any big words?
No.
No happy birthdays?
No. Well, who knows who's in the crowd, but... I can't possibly imagine what he has to tout. I just don't know what he has to tout.
What if he starts like this?
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
That's three words.
But that's a good point. What are they banking? What are they running on? What are they?
The economy.
The economy's good right now.
I thought food prices were still horrible.
Okay, they're up.
Well, that's due to inflation. The economy is just the movement of transactional money.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Don't they traditionally run...
Freeman, what's his name?
They run on things that don't matter, that we're not concerned about. So it'll be the global thing, the warming.
Well, I have a little...
The electric cars.
He's going to have to bring up immigration. I mean, he has to bring up.
Well, he'll probably bring up some measure that he's touting to solve it. He's
they'll blame the Republicans.
Yeah,
like KGP has been doing for the last 2 months.
But I was reading Daniel. I think it was Daniel Henninger.
Karine Jean Pierre.
I think I was reading Daniel Henninger today in the Wall Street Journal, and I think he captured something. The country is just a bit unhappy. We're unhappy.
I'll say.
And it's no wonder. I mean, again, the state National Guard in New York is patrolling the subway system. What are we, Latvia? What are we, Romania? What is this? You go to Walgreens, you got to find somebody to unlock a case so you can buy a toothbrush. What, this is...
You got homeless encampments all over the place towards the country's tallest building.
The unhappiness is like water in a bathtub. I mean, the right is unhappy now. Trump gets elected. The unhappiness is never going to stop. Half the country's always going to be angry.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
But aren't even the most diehard lefties kind of looking around saying, what the hell have we gotten ourselves into here?
Better than Trump!
I guess. But I just...
That's all they sound to, like that.
Damn it.
That was so stupid of me.
It really was.
I like the voice. I like the voice. It was Cookie Monster-esque.
But I do think the climate is on the top of people's mind. Don't
Where was I?
Climate.
You people interrupt so much that I lose track of my
thought. Well, he threw that KPGR deal out.
I assumed you guys knew who that was.
KPGR, what's that?
I have no idea who that was, Chris. I'm sorry.
She's referred to as KGP all the time.
Jean-Claude Keeley?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Pierre.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's the spunky one, the little one.
Yeah.
Mouthy.
Yeah. Among the things that make me a bit sad or unhappy is the incompetence and silliness of the people in positions of power. And no one reflects that better than John Kerry. He's no longer the climate czar. I don't know why. But I want you to hear what he's saying. Basically, he's saying if people could really warm up to that war in Ukraine, we could think about it a little better. What is the problem? What did
there's
I do
no
that
problem.
You're laughing
no,
at?
No,
no, Reavers, what?
No, there's
what?
You'll see a text later on during the break.
Yeah.
Laugh because I don't get it.
Yeah. Either
okay.
do I.
Okay. John Kerry.
John Kerry said that the people would warm up, people of the world, I guess, if not this country, would warm up to Russia's invasion of Ukraine if only Russia wasn't polluting so much.
Russia has the ability to be able to make enormous changes if it really wanted to. I mean, if Russia has the ability to wage a war illegally and invade another country, they ought to be able to find the effort to be responsible in the climate issue. Unfortunately, because of the actions that Russia took in an unprovoked, illegal war against another nation, we have not been engaged in discussions with Russia, sadly. I say sadly because it's a loss for the world not to be able to have Russia acting constructively on this issue. But we need every country, including Russia. Russia is one of the largest emitters in the world. If Russia wanted to show good faith, they could go out and announce what their reductions are going to be and make a greater effort to reduce emissions now. And maybe that would open up the door for people to feel better about what Russia is choosing to do at this point in time.
Unbelievable. That is...
He's the intelligence level of Greta. They're both spouting nonsense.
Babbling.
That is so stupid. Where is his concern for human life? Remember, Mysterians don't like people.
Right.
And he's basically saying, you know, we'd probably be a lot more comfortable with all these people getting brutally killed with hand grenades and mines.
What the hell?
If only Russia wasn't polluting so much.
This is like a guy trying to break his own record. That might be the dumbest thing he's ever said.
I can't take it. I can't take much more of these.
What has he said about China and all the coal plants and more coal plants coming online every week in China? Maybe he can outdo himself with a statement regarding China.
We'd feel a lot better about Russia bombing a Ukrainian playground and killing children. We'd feel a lot better about it if that didn't involve so many emissions. I know I would. Little Alfie gets killed on the swing in Ukraine.
Right.
But there was hardly any pollution brought about by that bomb.
You're going to lose a kid.
I'd feel a hell of a lot better about it. You're
going to
lose a kid in a war.
Right.
But can't you be clean about it?
Yeah.
That's a lot of smoke, a lot of dust. You're right.
Yeah. I'd feel a lot better if that was done more cleanly.
Right.
Yeah.
This guy is. I don't know what he is. I don't know what he is. He's beyond stupid. He's unfeeling, uncaring. I don't know what he is. He's stupid.
Is he still earning a paycheck?
I'm sure he is.
I thought he stepped down or he was resigning or retired.
Really? As the czar?
Yeah. He
no, he's done being the climate czar.
Oh.
I don't know.
So this was a freebie.
Yeah, he just, what was the context of the remarks, Chris, when you found them? I called you this morning and said, you got to find this.
He is in front of a, what looks to be a presidential style podium, something about the Forever Something Center. That's all I can see in the background.
Oh, so it's probably one of those $800,000 speeches. So this wasn't a freebie.
I'm going to guess.
That, yeah, he's going on the speaking tour.
That he flew to privately because he has to be in order to fight for us.
He is the first United States special presidential envoy for climate.
Oh, so he's no longer the czar.
This is his official
envoy.
He's
got a new title.
Right, he's the envoy.
He's an envoy.
What's up, envoy?
Isn't envoy lower than czar? I wouldn't want to give up my czar title.
Envoy versus czar.
Yeah, let's but you fight. Get more time off, I'm guessing.
You know, he took a lot of time off as czar because czars can do whatever they want. You're
well,
the
you
king.
Know, one speech a month. That's not too tough. Where's he appearing next? Who's on tour with
him? I want
him?
The t-shirt of the tour.
Yeah, who's the opening act? Is Greta the opener? Yeah. Is she midway through? Where does she appear?
You can add Carrie to the list of people who are ideologically aligned to not have this country. Their goals and aspirations are running in a parallel track to the goals and aspirations of the people in this country who are paying the bills. You can add him to the list along with Omar Fattah and Swensie Swensener, what's her name? Sandy Feist, and the rest of these fruitcakes that have no interest in going to the hardware store to buy a shovel or a rake. They have no interest in just normal American obligations and duties. None. Zero. It's not hyperbole. We're surrounded by them. Minnesota is particularly bad. And Jim Scholz was right. We're racing to become as destroyed as Illinois or California. We're in a rush to do it. And to us, the ones who are going to be overlooked, we find that abhorrent, and they don't. Get us out of the way.
Right.
We're a roadblock to their vision of utter chaos, anti-capitalism, the introduction of Marxism, because it'll work this time, because it's never worked before, but we're the right people to make it work.
And that's what makes it so frustrating with what Jim said earlier in the show. How can Walls, he's not an idiot.
Yes, he is.
Well, but...
No, I'm full circle
but
on
how
Walls.
Can
he's an idiot.
How can he rubber stamp this and
say... He's a fourth
say,
grade socials teacher.
Yep, this is good for the future of Minnesota while I move to Washington, D.C.
He
to
doesn't
continue.
Care. He's consumed the Kool-Aid.
But my God...
He's part of the crowd that thinks we're the problem. Oppressors versus oppressed. And if you just happen to be white or even just happen to have a job and pay taxes, you're an oppressor. You're an oppressor.
I just don't care.
We need to make this a sanctuary state because of all these poor, oppressed new Americans who need our protection and guidance.
And votes.
And votes.
And votes.
He but stepped down yesterday.
Who?
Kerry.
From being a czar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this speech was obviously...
that was his farewell.
His bye-bye speech, right?
Yeah. But he's now envoy?
Yeah,
Republicans
now
have accused,
he's an envoy.
Now, I'm just reading this for the first time. Republicans have accused Joe Biden of trying to circumvent the law in replacing presidential climate envoy John Kerry... Oh, with White House senior advisor John Podesta. Interesting.
Maybe Kerry doesn't have a gig. Maybe he's just
he's
like
a free
Greta.
Agent. They haven't updated his Wikipedia site.
He's just like Greta, maybe.
So everybody knows you have to post the job for what, 6 weeks before you can officially hire everybody.
That's true.
He's going around. He's trying to.
So what he's doing is he's Kirk Cousins. He's waiting for the best deal.
No, you know what he's doing? He's doing what a lot of lawyers, big-time lawyers who have been partners in their firm, and they're done now. Okay. They're kind of done.
Yeah.
But what they do, they still go to the office every day and read the paper. Wait. You know, they put their feet up on the desk.
So they're roicing.
They're
he roicing. Just wanders in here once in a while. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Before we get too far down that road, didn't we do that with Bud Grant?
Yes.
Didn't we throw a token office at him?
Bud had an office.
What, go in there and shuffle papers.
Don't tell me. A window?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bud actually accomplished something.
True. I know, but he finished out his days by reading the paper there.
Yeah.
That's where and then planning his garage sales.
Right. Remember when he won the Super Bowl?
See, you didn't have to do that, John.
I'm sorry.
I didn't have to do that.
As soon as you said that, Chris, I had to.
And of course, I answered, John. I said, no, I don't. I know
you John, I remember when he.
You get a point for that.
Like I forgot, John.
Joe said, John, no, I was
no,
there.
I don't. I covered all four of them, and I don't know where the hell they were.
I remember when he purposely lost the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't know that he ever.
That's just mean. Yeah. He lays some money down.
I've got great news. What am I doing here? I've got great news. Phil writes me, Joe, I don't know if you're aware, but Paramount with Showtime is premiering A Gentleman in Moscow March 29th. It stars Ewan McGregor as Count Rostov. The trailer looks pretty good. You will definitely want to check it out. Thank you, Phil from Minnetrista. Thank you.
Oh, you love that book.
Oh, I just thought it was wonderful. Just wonderful.
What is it, A Gentleman and a Scholar from Russia?
No, Rook. Never mind. You won't read it. Ooh. A Gentleman in Moscow. Although post-Pollet, maybe you'll become a reader.
This is a new me.
Joe, this is actually an 8-part series.
So I'll watch it.
Get involved, you'll have to watch 8 parts.
I'm game. I'm game for good stuff like Peaky Blinders and Slow Horses. And
I watched half of Blazing Saddles this morning as show prep. Splendid. Splendid. Splendid.
That's good writing.
We'll take the blanks, the blanks, the blanks, and the blanks, but we don't want no Irish.
Splendid. Our political situation right now, you need to remember, is him playing with that stupid thing going, we must save our phony baloney jobs.
Right, yeah.
That's it.
Well, this thing must be warped. It's defective.
I got a warped one. Why do I always get a warped one?
Phony baloney jobs, and that was 1974. They were on to something. And Mel couldn't make that today for all the tea
well,
in China.
Well, that's probably okay.
Why? Well, a lot worse is made.
Yeah, you know, you sit there and watch it. And yeah, I'm all alone in here, but yet I'm looking around going, Jesus.
Nobody can hear this, right? It's just me?
That's really, come on, man.
For the past couple of weeks, I've been sharing great information about Renewal by Anderson and their Acclaim replacement windows. They came on board. They're the official sponsor of Only Because.
Right.
They're the official sponsor. And here's something you might not know about Renewal. They are a J.D. Power Award winner. That means the highest customer satisfaction among window and patio door manufacturers. They have the most 5-star reviews in the greater Twin Cities area among leading full-service window replacement companies. And you don't have to take my word for that. You can log on to renewalbyanderson.com to see where and how they received these benedictions.
Ah, yes. Right?
So if you're in the market for windows, check out Renewal's Acclaim Replacement Windows. They're engineered and innovated by Anderson. Every component is by Anderson, done right there in Stillwater, if I'm not mistaken. Stillwater. And they provide Acclaim windows with renowned beauty, durability, and performance. And it's not just windows. It's patio doors and entry doors. Renewal by Anderson is the best products and the best service. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/GarageLogic or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931.
Here we go. Time to do that spring cleaning, right? Yes. I want you to think about your air ducts, your carpet, and the whole house getting cleaned. You're going to save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush with these limited offers from our cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Of course, it's the rookie to tell you about Zero Res. Zero Res has been here from day one. And you know what? 17,000 raving customer reviews online, a 4.9 Google rating. See what the hype is all about. And your air ducts, they're like the lungs of your home. If they're dirty, your indoor air quality will suffer. So this month, get 3-room Zero Resified from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129. It takes $75 off your air duct cleaning and 20% off all upholstery. What a deal. You owe it to yourself and to your family to breathe healthy, happy, and clean. Call Zero Res right now. Here's the number, 952-ZEROREZ, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the rookie special. Hey, spelled forward or backwards, it's spelled the same. Zero Res. Oh.
Joe Soucheray, yep. The keeper of common sense.
Used to think I cracked the code. I know differently now. I was thinking that the sky might fall.
The Chanhassens, 5, and now the Rochesters, 0. Right now.
Not a final?
There's 11 minutes left. Positive play for Patrick Thursday is brought to us by Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. Shoreview, 1060 County E. All things related to auto care can be had there at Schoonover's. Mike not with us this week. It's some work-related thing. I have no idea. I forgot all about it. So since it's all about high school hockey this week, I want to talk about the Schoonover's charitable organization, Play for Patrick. But it's more than just a charitable organization. It's a passion for the family. It's a passion to prevent what happened to young Patrick Schoonover to other kids. Pat collapsed on the ice during a Blue Ox Hockey Bantam AA tournament in Brainerd way back already, November of 14. That from a heart defect.
That's
starting
10 years.
About a year. Yeah, it's been that long already. About a year after that, the Play for Patrick Heart Foundation started conducting these heart screenings, and since have conducted 32. They've screened 5,527 kids, found 345 with elevated blood pressure, but they check multiple times just to be sure. 315 with abnormal electrical or structural defects, and here's what I love. Taught 4,445 kids and adults both CPR and how to use the AED. They've donated.
So good.
Yeah, 18. These things are really expensive, and they've given away 18 AEDs to schools around the area.
In all seriousness, I can't think of a charity that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I can't come
And
up
that's
with
why
that.
I'm talking about it. It's really close
Aside
to my
from
heart here.
Stork.
Right.
Right.
But today I'm not asking for money. I don't want your time, your sympathy. I want you to do whatever it takes to get that youth in your life, son, daughter, grandchild, niece, nephew, neighbor, friend, whoever, get that kid to a Play for Patrick screening. The next one, April 20th, it's in Northfield. We got to keep our kiddos alive here. So let's keep them healthy and happy. Log on to playforpatrick.org. You'll learn everything there is to know. And yeah, okay. We'll take your volunteering. We'll take your money. But get that kid screened. Playforpatrick.org.
Here's John Haidt.
Hey, speaking of which, you were talking about a...
Isn't John Haidt on now?
I think he shut his mic off.
I have a perfect...
I wouldn't do that.
You did. I saw you turn it back on.
I have a perfect bracket right now.
Oh, narc.
Good for you.
You do? Really?
Yes.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Let me tell you, because I was going to tell you before, and I forgot, and I'll forget again, so I want to share this before we move on. And our listeners probably will be interested, too. Sometimes when you turn on your television, you get recommendations based on what you've watched before.
I hate that. Yeah.
Well, I like it, actually. And last night, it recommended to me to watch the Glenn Campbell live anthology movie with clips from 1972 to 2001. And there was about three or four clips from the year 1990, which featured our buddy, Jeff Dayton.
Oh, cool.
Playing rhythm guitar.
Did he have hair?
He did. He had hair, not right in the middle, but he had hair on
the
sides.
Hair.
And
all right.
And a beard.
Good.
So, that was kind of fun.
Was he playing while looking at his hand with his mouth wide open? Let's make fun of Jeff when he's not here.
Right.
Jeff's a fine guitar player.
He's one of the best. That's why I'm making fun of him.
What was it called, Johnny?
Where did you find it? What streaming service?
Tubi, which is free.
Tubi.
So,
Tubi.
Yeah, Tubi.
Tubi. Tubi.
But T-U-B-I, it's free, Joe.
What the hell is Tubi?
It's a streaming service.
Jeez. It's kind of cool. You can see a lot of stuff on Tubi.
The boys and I do watch Tubi on occasion, yeah. What's it called?
It's called Glenn Campbell Live Anthology, 1972 to 2001.
All right.
It's got a lot of other great clips, too, just kind of fun history. It's sort of a history of Glenn on television. So there you go. Got that in.
Jeff's also all dressed up. I've never seen him all dressed up. He's always wearing, you know, t-shirt and old jeans.
Flip-flops.
So kind of fun. Yeah, exactly. In the news, we talked a bit yesterday about the latest survey from our friends at KSTP and Survey USA yesterday. We didn't talk about that poll also addressing the presidential election. Both President Biden and President Trump scoring big victories, of course, on Super Tuesday, including here in Minnesota. However, when it comes to the general election, it's a pretty close race. According to the poll, Joe Biden leads Trump by 4 percentage points in Minnesota, 42% to 38%. But the big numbers are there's 11% undecided, and there's 9% who prefer other candidates. Not shockingly, there's a huge disparity between the Twin Cities metro area and greater Minnesota. Biden leads the Twin Cities and core suburbs 48% to 30%. However, Trump has big leads everywhere else in the state. Trump leads 45% to 37% in southern Minnesota, 57% to 26% in western Minnesota, and 51% to 33% in northeastern Minnesota.
Did 40% of Democrats not vote for Biden? Do I have that right?
During the primary?
Yeah.
We had, 19 uncommitted?
And 19% nine? Uncommitted.
No, maybe 19,000.
Well, whatever. You know why? That Biden's not progressive enough.
Oh, God.
He's not enough of a Mysterian.
Well,
For this state, he's not enough of a Mysterian.
But wasn't that all entirely based upon Gaza?
Yeah, there's the anti-Jews are really against Biden.
No, let me fix that for you.
Yeah.
They hate Jews, yep. And Biden doesn't hate Jews enough.
Let me ask you, and this drives me nuts, because a large portion segment of those people are Jews. They're groups of Jews who are against the war.
Do they read the paper? Do they follow the events? Do they know what happened?
Wait a minute.
I don't understand at all. Yes, sir.
Explain that to me like I'm five.
There are large groups of Jewish people who want the fighting to stop. Basically, and they're against the war, and they're against the Jewish government for going into Gaza.
And in the primary here, they voted uncommitted.
Okay,
which is an attempt to get Biden to hate Jews more.
Yeah. Why this distinct hate for the Hebrew?
That's what I'd like to know.
Yes, I would like to know.
St. Paul City Council members, speaking of that whole area,
they're the least diverse city council in America.
Oh, but they finally come around.
They finally did.
We hate Jews bandwagon.
Yep.
They unanimously approved a resolution calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, joining a growing list of cities across the U.S. that has done so. That measure urges President Biden to negotiate a permanent and mutual end to the hostilities that began when Hamas militants carried out a massacre on Israeli soil, killing more than 1,100 people, taking over 200 hostages. In addition to calling for a ceasefire, the resolution presses the administration and federally elected officials to facilitate humanitarian aid in Gaza, ensure the release of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners, condemn the October 7th Hamas attacks, and discontinue U.S. military aid to Israel without clear guarantees for civilian safety. You've probably seen this video. I've seen it on social media. 29-year-old Jamian Michael Nees is charged with second-degree assault and fleeing police in connection to an incident. Released some video from the Minnesota Department of Transportation cameras. You've seen this probably, haven't you?
I have not.
A fella gets pushed out of the car.
Ooh. Well, I did see that. I'm sorry.
And a guy keeps making circles, basically ending up dragging him a little ways. The man found on I-94 near Baker Road had cuts to his head and disfigurement to his right leg, taken to a hospital for treatment. Video from the traffic camera shows a white Kia stop in the right lane of the road for about 10 seconds. A person is seen getting apparently pushed out of the driver's side.
Was it a stolen Kia?
It was not.
Oh.
The Kia takes off, swerving into the middle lane, while the person is apparently dragged for about 5 seconds before he's seen lying in the middle of the road. At that point, the Kia turns around to go the wrong way on the highway and drives right at the person.
Do you ever think you'd see this?
Oh, the video is astounding. Yeah,
see this stuff a lot, Joe.
Really?
Yeah. Late, I think it was last week, a couple pulled over and started throwing hands at each other. And I'm not laughing at domestic violence, but she had the upper hand by about 100 pounds.
Okay.
And
he was a big girl?
He took a beating, and probably deservedly so.
Yeah.
Just right on the side of the road, just throwing hands.
You know what? They did the responsible thing. They pulled over.
Right. This guy did not pull over. And this one involves a lot of methamphetamine.
Criminal
complaint says that Nieces called dispatchers during the incident. So this is the bad guy. He called dispatchers while it was all going on and made erratic and threatening statements. Officers later tracked him down at a gas station near County Road 101 and Townline Road and pursued the vehicle as it sped off. After the Kia ran a stop sign and a red light, Eden Prairie police were able to use a pursuit intervention technique to stop it. When officers went to take him into custody, he continued making threatening statements, saying, "I already got one of them. I have to get the other one, too," and asking if he could use the officer's gun. The victim's spouse told officers interactions with Nieces started through an app around 4 years ago, but a financial dispute in the past 2 years caused issues, and Nieces allegedly started using methamphetamine.
Ooh.
Court documents said that Nieces previously assaulted the victim and made threatening statements that made the victim and his spouse believe he wanted to kill them. He is scheduled to make his next court appearance next week, faces up to 7 years in prison assault.
It's, you know, I don't feel right hearing about people's drug-addled exploits. That's just stuff I don't want to hear about. But, John, you read something that I've always wondered about, and I'm thanking you for this. Pursuit intervention tactic.
A pit maneuver.
Yes, sir.
Pit him. Pursuit intervention tactic.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. You didn't know what that meant. Is that what you're saying? I see.
Had no idea.
I understand.
Well, gotcha. She'd be an acronym.
I think you knew.
A nice honor for a couple of Minnesotans. Of the 19 inductees voted into the American Academy of Arts and Letters this year, two are from Minnesota. One, composer Libby Larson. The other, renowned author Charles Baxter. Like Larson, Baxter grew up in Minnesota, and like Larson, he lives in Minneapolis. Speaking in her home near Lake of the Isles, Larson, used the news to praise the music-making culture of the Twin Cities. 76-year-old Baxter can add election to the American Academy of Arts and Letters to a list of honors that includes fellowships from the Guggenheim Memorial Foundation and National Endowment for the Arts, two Minnesota Book Awards, the Penn Malamute Award for Excellence in the Short Story, a nomination for the National Book Award, and inclusion in the Best American Short Stories Collection 7 times.
I don't think I've read him. What am I missing?
It's pretty good.
I don't know. Yeah, okay.
What genre is he, I wonder?
I went and read some synopses of his stuff.
Yeah.
He just looks like an all-around kind of author.
I see.
When I was reading it, I was thinking John Updike, but, you know, I can't.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. And a Minnesota man who won a $3.73 million Lotto America jackpot has now claimed his prize. The Minnesota Lottery said that winner on the March 4th drawing came forward, bought the ticket at Cub Foods in Roseville.
You ever been to that Cub?
No.
Per the lottery, the winner told the lottery he was in disbelief when he checked his tickets. The winner elected to take the lottery winning is $1.78 million.
Wait, stop.
Yeah.
Don't ask me those things.
I bit too, Matthew, because I immediately thought, well, hell yeah. I always go there.
Yeah, that's the one that just up here. The one that's got those JoJo potatoes.
I didn't go there. I've never been there.
Got lunch and meat. They got a bakery. They got it all.
You
got
to be careful around this guy. You got to be careful.
Don't ask me that stuff, because all you're trying to do is trap me.
I asked with sincerity.
I know you did.
I never stepped foot in there. Did you get a wheel of cheese? Yeah, you can get a wheel of cheese there.
I almost chimed in, and then I realized.
I don't think that's fair.
Then you did a pit maneuver with your
ass. Yeah.
The winner took the $1.78 million lump sum. He says he's probably going to pay off his mortgage and his debts and then buy a new car. The Cub Food Store, if you've never been there, is at 2100 North Snelling Avenue.
I know where that is.
Right. Yep.
You've driven by it, I bet.
I bet I have.
Sure. Been there a few times.
Sure.
Why don't we take a short break here before we have some more news and hear from our buddy, the Rookster.
Thank you, Johnny Cake. Weather changes. It's up, it's down. You never know what it's going to be, but you always have to have everything ready. And that's where Ray N. Welter, a fine company in Minneapolis for the last 120 years, four generations, to help you.
You can schedule an appointment online, or if you have a couple of questions during business hours, the phone is answered by a human being, believe it or not. 612-825-6867. I invite you to visit their site, welterheating.com, and look at, click on the blog. The blog may have some answers to questions that you have, but don't mess around with that air conditioning unit when it's super hot and that furnace, that heating unit, at any time of the year, I guess. You want your equipment working properly, right, Reeves? You want your equipment working properly.
Always.
All right, don't forget about air purification as well. Serving the metro area, the Twin Cities area, again, for 120 years, four generations, they support, of course, boys and girls high school hockey, just in theory. You know, I'm sure they're rooting for everybody. Welter is very community-oriented, so if you have a choice, I would choose Welter. Air condition or heat your shelter with Ray and Welter, and tell Rick that the Rook sent you.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
Playing my song.
Well, it's because...
I don't know if I endorse this.
I know you will, because I'm going to talk about our gal, Linda Keller,
oh,
and Keller Tax Service.
All right, it's Linda's song today.
KellerTaxService.com is the website. First of all, here's the text I received from Linda. This would have been Tuesday morning. Hey, Chris, all the ads have been great, and I'm super grateful for all of the GLers and their response. It's been amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please, just do one thing. Will you mention that I have a lot of availability on Saturdays? I completely forgot about that earlier this week. Yes, Linda will take care of you on Saturdays. That's one of the things that sets her apart from all those other people that pretend that they know what they're doing. Go with the best. She's a GLer, first and foremost. That should be enough. But go online and book your appointment today. And if you go to her website, KellerTaxService.com, you can see all the things that you need to be up to date on it as far as tax codes and changes and things of that nature. Doesn't matter if you're filing individual, as a family, as a business. She prepares all types of returns, even if you're out of the state. That doesn't matter. Linda will take care of you, and she's really happy to do it. KellerTaxService.com, right, Kenny?
I'm done. She finished mine in record time. I already have my return from the IRS, and yesterday I sent the $904 to the stupid state of Minnesota.
Viola.
So I'm done. I'm done.
Viola. Do
it. Thank you, Linda.
And please let Linda know that you heard about her right here on the Garage Logic podcast.
Is John and, done?
No.
Okay.
Before I get back to news, she is open Saturdays. I will be there this Saturday. See?
Oh, where? Fantastic.
She is open at Linda's place. Not for appearance.
Home.
I'm just going to get
John,
my taxes.
I won't be home. I'm not going
to
be here, so don't
I
even.
To come see you.
Oh, the bar's always open, though, right?
John, I have something I'd like to introduce to your newscast.
Yes, sir.
When Reavers finds the audio of Mayor Tiffany Henyard.
Oh, give me just a brief moment.
Sure. Of Dalton, Illinois, John. We've talked about her a couple
sure.
of times.
Boss Hogg.
She is. She's a tyrant.
Crazy.
And the latest, and we, she's come up. Dalton is a southern, basically a suburb of Chicago. And she has come up for her outrageous spending and salary and her personal habits and flying around and getting her hair done and not really taking the job seriously, except for what it can do for her.
She'd fit in on Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, she, on Monday, she vetoed a resolution passed by the village board that sought to investigate her spending. She said, no.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, I got to do that.
No.
The resolution received unanimous support from the four trustee majority aimed to scrutinize Henyard's alleged misuse of funds. It mandated that Henyard submit to the village its financial records and called for an FBI investigation. She won't do it. She's been mayor since 2021.
Well, she's the mayor of Dalton, Illinois. That's above the FBI.
Yeah.
Can they recall or override that?
I don't know why she's surviving. It's truly an amazing story.
There's a two-part audio clip I'd love to play for all of you. Are you ready? This is the news story that Joe just read.
Tonight, the Dalton mayor vetoed a resolution passed by the board to investigate her spending. Last month, the board passed a resolution that required Henyard to turn in the village's financial records and called for an investigation by the FBI. Now, several Fox 32 reports have uncovered multiple allegations allegations of corruption in her capacity as mayor and as Thornton Township supervisor. The mayor took issue with what she called attacks on her.
As you can see, our village, our community, myself, we are under attack. It's a shame that people can come to meetings and just tell one-sided stories and not get the entire side of both.
Tonight, the adult.
I'd love to hear her side of this. I would love to hear her
well,
side.
Well, I'm glad you asked,
she's
Rook.
She's playing the race card.
She 100% is. This is Miss, is it pronounced Henyard? Is
that, yes, is that Tiffany what? Henyard.
When the allegations first surfaced some time ago before the village made the unanimous decision to have her
investigated.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Here was her response when it was first brought up. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Because y'all got false narratives out there, and y'all should be ashamed of y'allself. Y'all black. Y'all are black. And what? Y'all sitting up here beating and attacking on a black woman that's in power. Y'all should be ashamed of y'allselves.
What?
All the stuff that y'all did right. to get people to come to our community, to just dis and down our community.
Then go bleep yourself.
Shh, let her finish.
When I want to attack and take any of y'all seats, I run. I run for the seat. I don't do smear campaigns. I don't do all this mess. It's nonsense. Because at the end of the day, we still got to live in this village. Oh, well, y'all don't live in the village, but we still got...
A few moments later.
Okay.
I don't think they're the SpongeBob reference. Did you see that?
I just wanted that in your newest job.
Yeah, fellas, I love her. I like her. I would move there. I would support her. I think this is the best. At least she's an honest, corrupt politician.
The best part about that video was the few moments later part. So there's a news reporter. I do, but you can barely hear it because it's so she's on camera. She's being investigated by the television reporter. Would you like to talk about these allegations? Well, you know, I'm just saying that this is all hogwash. And they said, well, we have receipts of you in Vegas. And she does the
what?
including a $36,000 bill for dinner.
Really? Oh, that is fantastic. Oh, I love this woman
I'm starting to go with Kenny.
She's my favorite mayor in the whole wide world. I love her.
Yeah. And I'm starting to hear the Fred Flintstone backpedal sound, you know.
But she did the whole, like...
I love how she's chastising black people for not supporting a corrupt black mayor. Right. That is
America.
Who has the balls to do that? That's so awesome.
Is she otter? You think she ottered? She's not going to let you sit there.
Very close.
You're not going to sit here and run down the village of Dalton, Illinois.
That's right.
Which is part of the United States of America. And I'm not going to allow that to happen.
They're more corrupt than Chicago. How do you do that?
That's pretty hard to do.
She is a real piece of work. So, Tiffany, go bleep yourself.
In other news, one other local story I didn't get to in the earlier segment. Media news, if you haven't seen it, Star Tribune reporting Randy Shaver's retiring. He's been at Care 11 for 4 decades. 65 years old. He revealed this morning on Facebook, he said, honestly, if you would have told me in 1977 at age 18, this is how my life was going to turn out, I would have immediately said, sign me up. It's been an amazing journey. Shaver has co-anchored the station's evening news with Julie Nelson since 2012. And before that, he served as sports director for 18 years. Shaver inducted into the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2020. As far as what he's going to do, he says he wants to spend more time with his family, which includes 2 sons and 2 grandchildren, saying, I just know I walk away from Care on June 28th as a blessed man, and thank the listeners. Watch.
As a former intern with the Care 11 sports crew prior to my career here, I can tell you off the camera, he was good to the help.
He was a real guy.
Now,
so did you work with Ryther at all?
Tom Ryther.
You did?
Yep, I called him before he checked out. Majors, complete jerk. Yep. He'd come into the sports,
and he would drop one.
He would come in and just drop a horrible one and then walk out. No, he was fun as hell. He was fun as hell. But he wouldn't do that. He would come in, drop one, and get out of
the,
there.
The Star Tribune is also in the news for other reasons. I think you noted the Star Tribune had the Randy Shaver story.
Yes, sir. Yep.
The Star Tribune is teaming up with a Twin Cities ad agency as it embarks on a rebrand designed to reinvigorate the venerable 157-year-old news organization. CEO and publisher Steve Grove announced Friday that the newspaper, I guess it was last week, has taken on Collie McVoy to lead its rebrand. And every option is on the table, including changing the name of the paper, which I think would be a sad, sad thing. Don't change the name.
I smell Garage Logic Contest. What should we call the Star
What should we call the Star Tribune?
Are they going to, what's their new logo going to be? The hammer and sickle?
I don't know what they're going to do.
Hammer and sickle. That's reserved for the Republican Party at the moment, Kenny.
it does bounce back and forth. You're right.
It's ours for now.
I hope they don't change the name. I hate both sides so much. Oh my God. What's the point?
They're trying to be the source of all news for Minnesota. I got news for you, Grove. You won't be.
In other news, President Biden, as we talked about earlier, set to use his State of the Union address tonight to promote his vision for a second term. His third such address from the House rostrum will be something of an on-the-job interview as the nation's oldest president tries to quell voter concerns about his age and job performance while sharpening the contrast with his all but certain November rival, former President Donald Trump.
Neither of whom are presidential.
Right. Meanwhile, House Speaker Mike Johnson privately told Republicans to behave during the State of the Union speech. This comes, you may remember, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene making a spectacle of herself at last year's address. According to GOP lawmakers who were at the meeting, Johnson said decorum is the order of the day. And he said they should all carry themselves at the speech with good decorum.
Well, no Republican has had the balls to confront Trump.
It's going to be a gong show, isn't
it? No, he's going to make it through, again, because they applaud every 5 seconds and he can gather himself.
Is Trump going to make a responsible counter speech after the...
No.
Mitch McConnell.
No, I would stick around for that.
No, Kenny. In fact, he's doing a live play-by-play of the Biden speech.
Where do I get to see that?
I don't know. Look that up.
How much is it? Oh, my God.
Look it up.
It'll be on Truth Social?
I don't know where it's going to be.
I'll
pay up to $100. I got to see it.
Yeah, just Google, is Trump doing a live commentary on State of the Union? I've read that or heard that he's going to be countering the State of the Union as it is spoken with play-by-play.
State of the Union, Trump announces plan to give play-by-play Biden's speech. that was fantastic. From Fox Boston. Just the news. Let's see if there is a cost.
No, where can this be heard? I don't care. First, you got to find where. Then you worried about the cost.
All right. It is refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. I think, Rook, are you still, do you need time to look it up? Because I think I got part of it. Yeah.
250 years ago, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose full name, you know, he was Jewish, so his full name might have been like Christowitz, God rose him from the dead on a holiday we now call Easter.
Yep.
Not a lot of people know that, but it's called Easter. It's when Jesus and the two Corinthians met the Easter Bunny and came back from the dead. It's a beautiful story. Very important for the Christians like me. And I have decided, I'm announcing today, we are going to bring back the economy on Easter Sunday.
So I think that's pretty good.
Wow. It's good. So you haven't found out anything.
Did you find it, Matthew?
Tonight on Truth at 9 p.m.
What the hell is Truth?
Truth Social.
That's a show. So I have to sign up for it.
Wait a minute. Is that a TV network? Is Truth Social?
It's like Twitter.
I'm not going to do that.
Is it going to be a camera and a microphone, or is it just him tweeting on Truth?
It's very similar to X or Twitter.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
But no, but you guys, you got to wake up to this idea that I'm going to sit down and turn on my cable and that's how I'm going to watch my TV.
No, I just want to know.
No, but social
media. I just want to know if I can watch it. I don't want to read it. I want to watch it.
I think you have to have a subscription.
An account.
TruthSocial.com.
You have to, yeah. Create an account.
But will he be, is it on camera is what Kenny's trying to say?
Yes.
Or will he be typing
you
out?
You don't know.
Caps, no, but every other time he's done this on Truth Social, yes, it has been.
I'm Pontius Pilate. I'm washing my hands.
No, yeah, this is a real gong show we got going here.
Hey, Trump, come down from the cross. We need the wood.
Yeah. No, you mean Christowitz.
Yes. Christowitz.
Marvin Christowitz.
Did he say 200 years ago?
250.
Yes. 250 years ago.
And who are those two Corinthians?
Yeah.
Two Corinthians.
God, that is such a great bit.
Oh, yes. A growing number of Republican National Committee members think its campaign arm should help pay the mounting legal bills for the former president, a move that would strain the party's ability to financially support.
Yeah, I agree. Let's do it. Let's get him out of trouble. Come on, man.
2024 election. RNC committeeman Solomon Yu, who is from Oregon, told CNBC he thinks more than a majority of members are in favor of helping offset the bills from Trump's lawyers in four pending criminal cases and at least three other civil cases. You said, I support the RNC paying those bills. That support by you and others led to the defeat Tuesday of a proposed resolution by RNC committee member Henry Barber that would have barred the group from paying the bills once Trump becomes the presumptive GOP presidential nominee.
You know who Trump would get along with famously?
Tell me.
Tiffany Henyard.
Who dat?
Oh,
the mayor of Dalton, Illinois.
Oh my God.
The one you're in love with and you forgot it already.
Joe, a running mate.
Yeah, a running mate.
Vice President.
Yep. Vice President Tiffany Henyard.
Then she could veto the FBI.
Y'all
be listening.
That's the best idea I've ever heard.
Kenny, yes, you do need to establish an account on Truth Social. I just looked it up in order to
watch. Yeah, well, I ain't
like
gonna.
Twitter, same thing. Yeah.
I thought that's what I said.
John, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all be attacking. That's what you're doing to me. Y'all be attacking.
You deserve it, though, Chris. Come on.
How many ads do you have?
Well, he's been gone a couple days.
I can't wait till I can do the colonoscopy ad. And don't think I'm not. And don't think I'm not working
and
on it.
And don't think I won't.
Here's the deal, folks.
Here's my deal.
Right, here 5960. All right, Johnny. Johnny Schweitz sent me over a copy here. For too often, we are reminded of the shocking decline in moral and ethical integrity. We do that every day on GL. Well, Minnesota Masonic Charities and the Masons of Minnesota, they're going to try to do something about it. On March 30th, the Saturday before Easter, they're going to be testing out a program that they are developing called Civility School. The program will be from 10 to noon at the Masonic Heritage Center in South Bloomington. It's a great campus, and they're going to have lunch there as well. Masonry has been described as a system of morality veiled in allegory illustrated by signs and symbols. Civility School is a system of civility veiled in allegory illustrated by YouTube videos and conversation. Believe it or not, as much as social media has become the source of society's many challenges, it also could provide some powerful solutions to those challenges. So let's use it. By meeting people where they live, which is on various social media, Civility School hopes to demonstrate interested young people that civility is pretty cool. And over the next few weeks, I'll be sharing some more about Civility School and details about how garage logicians might lend their insights to the program. Stick around.
Ooh.
The guy that liked owls.
Or is it me now?
Yes, sir.
You doing an ad?
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
It's developing as we speak. Representative Lee Finke, who's there for an agenda, not to do the work of the people, because they envision a different country full of different Americans. Representative Lee Finke is the chief author of a bill that would prohibit towns, home rule charter, and statutory cities, counties, school districts, and any other political subdivision of the state from removing or banning the display of items containing a rainbow, in other words, the rainbow flag. A bill that would prohibit public and charter schools from banning any displays of rainbow flags that teachers or staff post in classrooms is headed to the House floor. One Republican lawmaker during a hearing this week said the bill, House File 4273, did not receive a proper vetting by any additional committee, which is generally afforded to newly introduced legislation that touches more than one area of government. Well, these the Mysterians don't care. They don't intend to follow the rules.
Fast forward it.
On Tuesday, the House State and Local Government Committee voted on a divided voice vote to refer the legislation to the General Register. That was after about 20 minutes of public testimony from three LGBTQWTF advocacy organizations. Guy sent me that today. Just shorten your thing to LGBTQWTF. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Huh? I think I get it.
Huh? That's hysterical.
Yeah. That was after about 20 minutes of public testimony and one first grade teacher who supported the bill, and then a brief discussion among legislators that devolved into an argument between a DFL committee chair and Republican legislator over committee procedure on the legislation. Finke is the chief author, and language in the bill contains an exception for spaces in which a generally applicable law, rule, or policy prohibits visual displays of any form or content. This is what you get, people, when you don't when you're not careful who you vote for. You get people that are only there for their own personal reasons and don't give a bleep about you or your street.
Hear, hear.
What this bill says is that if an individual wants to display a rainbow, they can, said Finke, who identifies as a trans woman and leads the Minnesota Queer Legislators Caucus. See, they got their own deal.
Mm-hmm.
More specifically, this bill prohibits a local government from banning the display of rainbow flags, rainbow posters, or rainbow paraphernalia, Finke said. The bill doesn't require anyone to display rainbows. Oh, they're cutting us some slack there. We don't have to do it because Finke isn't at that stage yet.
Got it.
We don't have to do it this year. Nor does it supersede policies that prohibit the display of banners, flags, or posters. It just prohibits rainbows from being singled out and banned in schools, libraries, and other government spaces. One testifier, Nicole Gaylor, a first grade teacher, said she supports the right to display a rainbow flag in her classroom. What does a rainbow flag mean to my students? She said, here are some words for my first grade babies. It means my teacher will stand up for me. It looks like the flags at my house, so I feel home. It means we are all here together. I want every child, family, and staff member to have a clear visual of inclusion and safety in the community I've built. That's pretty good language for a first grader.
Yeah.
First grade teacher.
First grade teacher.
But she's speaking on behalf.
Oh, I see.
John Kosnick, a Republican from Lakeville, expressed concern that many would deem a rainbow flag on display as political speech. And then they go on to say this bill needs more work because it does infringe on some of those areas that we uphold for education and to be dependent of political activities. The hell with them.
I know.
Everybody, say it with me. This is why
Trump is going to get elected.
This is why. This is another reason.
These people are not serving the people of Minnesota.
And people are fed up with this BS. They just are.
It seems to me like it's introducing chaos into the classroom because if you want to ban all expressive posters, flags, stickers, etc., you can do that. You just can't say we don't allow rainbows. So if they're going to allow a rainbow, then they have to say, who's really against the gay people? Muslims. You're going to have to allow some sort of pro-Muslim paraphernalia.
And what was the, that's propaganda. A good point, Kenny. What was the situation? Was it St. Louis Park where they allowed Muslim families not?
Right. So then now we're going to have Jews again and Muslims and Swedes and Catholics and Lutherans, and everybody's just going to be going at it in the classroom.
That's what happens when you're not there to represent the common good.
In fact, everything but the state flag is absurd as it is, and the United States flag should be banned. Everything else except those two flags. That's the only thing that should be in our classrooms public schools.
And the GL flag.
Not even that. I'm sorry. Plus, they're not available.
That's true.
Like hen's teeth. You can't find them anywhere.
I have a question for you regarding your sensitivity meter.
Okay.
There's a 5-page story on the Star Tribune online site.
Okay.
Maybe it was in the paper, but I didn't see it. Her Kia has been stolen 5 times.
Wow.
Okay. And in the story, of course, is slanted to be written in on behalf of the manufacturers at fault, not the thieves. But my sensitivity meter stops at 2.
2?
You know, your car gets stolen twice, that's I'm with you.
Fool me once?
No. Yeah. 3, no. 4, and 5, you're on your own because you're a moron.
No. Yeah. No, it stops at 1.
All right, 1. I'll go 1. But I'm not going 5.
Yeah, you don't get a second chance with me.
Buy a steering wheel lock, Nancy Cameron.
$30.
She leased her white Kia Soul in May of 2020.
Kid just crossed himself and pointed up. Cretan Durham Hall is coming out.
I'm sorry, the Cretans are being introduced, and it's as if they all rolled up in a windowless van. Right. They look awful.
Yeah,
they look like Uncle Rico with blonde hair.
You know what? I hope they lose 10-0.
No. I got them. I picked them to win.
God, they look silly.
Help me with something here, guys.
Yo.
Are they doing this because they know that they're ridiculous, or are they doing this because they think it's cool?
It's just a thing.
Well, that one kid didn't. His parents told him no. The brown-haired kid. They just introduced him.
That's got to be a relative of Joe, right?
Or he's got a wedding or something they had to go to.
The old man
listens. I hope they lose 10-0.
I hope the kid with the non-dyed 10 goals.
Now listen, the guy with the non-dyed hair has never missed a word that Joe Suchere has said.
Oh, absolutely.
There he is.
There's another one. That's number 2.
Yeah. Sorry we're doing this, folks, but I have to. It's just the introductions.
Can I get back to Nancy Cameron?
Wait, one more, then we'll do it.
Here's the backup goalie.
Okay, so we have...
Pads.
Oh, no, that's died. That's died.
What's up, bro?
That looks terrible. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Listen to Joe.
Oh, what is this?
They're squirting water on each other. Yep.
There's a wink from the coach.
They're not... I'm sorry.
They're going to win. Let's go, Raiders.
I'm not sending them any more money. I'm done.
Beat up on those Northern Metro kids. Centennial?
I hope Centennial wins 10-0. Wait, did Centennial do their hair, too?
Of course they did.
Oh, now what do I do?
Now I hope they both lose in a shootout.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know what we should do?
Give me the head wave.
Shake it, baby. You won't break it.
Come Monday, the four of us should come in here with blonde hair.
Blonde hair.
Oh, my God. I would do that.
God, that would
get rid
so
of the gray.
Funny.
I really just find it amusing that the guy's hair looks like Joe's looks right now. He's complaining about somebody else's
so
hair.
Awesome.
Joe, you can skate out
I love
there.
This guy so
Suchi
much.
Can skate out
John, I don't have any dye in my hair, all right?
Maybe you ought to.
What he's saying is it's rooted in jealousy, as I think.
Mole.
You could be like Bob. Maria texted a picture of my dad and her at church, and Maria said, he got into the self-tanner again.
Uh-oh.
What was Bob doing when he got into the self-tanner on his hair?
May I tell you?
Trying to put it on his face.
May I say that we've had a woman here.
Oh, the Kia.
Yeah. She has a parking stall behind her apartment in the Whittier neighborhood, and occasionally it's gone 5 times.
Right.
And she needs it. She's a real estate agent. She didn't think she'd be a repeat victim. And then we get into how it's the manufacturer's fault.
Classic.
Lady, buy a steering wheel lock or find a different parking spot. My sympathy meter ended at 2. Kenny's ends at 1.
Yep.
I can't. This is ridiculous. So
do you think maybe there's somebody else that she knows that has an extra set of keys and is just borrowing said vehicle?
Now, I wonder how this woman votes, because this is pretty interesting. She's a real estate agent and a property manager. She moved to Uptown in 1983, just as Figlio arrived. The 80s were very good to Uptown, according to this newspaper story. The punkers were still around. For the next 4 decades, Cameron lived in apartments, a condo, and a duplex in the Stevens Square, Lowry Hill, and Lynn Lake neighborhoods. She's now 64, but her style, tiny nose stud, her miniature pincher's name tattooed in kanji. What is it? Is that a dog?
I'm not sure what that is.
I wouldn't ride a bike for 2 weeks.
Hey. Blends, Schnauzer.
Blends in with the...
the hell is going on?
I don't know what this is. her style. She's got a nose stud, okay, and she's got her miniature pincher's name tattooed in kanji. What's kanji?
Are you reading the cut
It's line? A language that she has her dog's name tattooed somewhere. Where is it? That's what I want to know. Where?
What does turn to page 7 mean?
Her, she blends in with the younger crowds congregating at the neighborhood lakes and bars.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't blend in at all.
But the point is that I'm really trying hard to get to is that in all those years, she had only once been the victim of a crime. Thieves broke into her Honda and stole a fax machine. But in the most recent times, she's had her car stolen 5 times. I'd love to know who she votes for.
Yeah.
Because, lady, you got no shot in Minneapolis if you're still voting the way I think you vote.
A lot of people fax out of the vehicle?
Well, she's a real estate person. I'm sure she has every right in the world to move a fax machine around and about.
Documents and whatnot.
You know, things, papers. Yeah. Things of that nature.
A lot of people have papers.
A lot of people
Kanji
have papers.
Kanji is the Japanese characters you often see people have tattoos with, Japanese writing.
That's good, Jen. I had no idea.
Okay.
Does she have
I had to look it up.
Does she have a sentence tattooed on her arm? I don't get that new craze where we put a whole sentence on her arm.
Know that she does. She's angry at the thieves. She's angry at their parents. She's angry at the neighborhood. She's angry at her landlord who wouldn't let her out of her lease. Her friends and family. She's angry at them, too, because they asked her if maybe she'd forgotten to lock the door. Her rage metastasized. I started to hate everybody, she said. I'm so sick of this. Okay. Now, she did buy a car alarm. Oh, she does. And she has a steering lock, but the steering lock was since trashed by thieves.
Huh. Oh.
I didn't know you could do that.
Do they go around with a Sawzall?
Yeah. Make quick work.
Yeah, but those things are chrome moly, aren't they?
Thieves have broken a window. They fled after the alarm went off in June, after another window was smashed. In July, it happened again. Cameron often raced outside in her stocking feet after hearing her car alarm, but she never encountered a thief. And then she says, what would I even do? I don't have a weapon. I don't even have my shoes on. This goes on and on and on.
It really is. It really is.
Here's how I see this, because when I listen to the show and I'm not on, sometimes I'm yelling at you guys. I'm in my mind seeing Nancy listening to the show going, read down in the story, you morons. I'm a GLer.
Right. My favorite thing when people have those tattoos on their arms.
I got to the
lock. And they have the sentence.
They got to it.
Yeah.
The baseball fans.
Yeah, what is that, Matt?
It's Genesis in the big inning.
Okay, anyway.
Oh, jeez.
Well, speaking of baseball, swing and a miss.
Wow.
All right, Herb, back to you.
I guess she's had to go to a therapist. And,
you sure you're not writing today?
Yeah. Could you please? Because
I've got to go to
Bob's open house
today.
Well,
they got 5 pages of this.
Where my dad's living. I have to go to his open house.
Well, lady, I hope you figure this out.
They get a keg?
I don't know, but I'm going to have to bring a fifth of something.
Why is, not to prolong the show, Rook, sorry, please, but why don't. Is that? Why is this a long story? Why is it a story, period?
Right.
What?
The Centennial already scored,
so
fellas.
So it gives the Star and Sickle another chance to say this is the manufacturer's fault.
Yeah, it's just silly. The story's silly.
Yeah.
That's my final word.
Okay.
Joe, we got a hockey game we need to watch here. Let's go.
Only because they come like to hockey. Us.
Who sponsors that?
Oh, boy. I had it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Better get on the computer, huh?
You know, we missed one yesterday, by the way.
What?
Hey, wait a minute.
I got John Candy's death.
No, I had them. I have them. Where are they? What the hell?
I got them right here.
Every day.
I got them.
We
right
missed
here.
The 18th anniversary of the death of Kirby Puckett yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Was it yesterday or the day before?
It was yesterday, yep.
Mike Trombley, the former Twin, tweeted out that when he was getting his first paycheck, he was sitting outside of his locker looking at it, and Kirby walks by.
Yep.
He says, is that your first big league paycheck? He said, yeah. Pulls out a wad of money and says, you want me to cash it for you?
only because they come to us.
What?
All the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, brought to you by Renewal by Anderson.
Pretty good reaction, huh?
Well, we've heard that story about 50 times.
Yeah, it's on Twitter every other day.
God, what was almighty. That look, Matthew? What was that look?
Dr. Steve Brule. In my post-polyp life, I'm going to be more like Dr. Steve Brule.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores.
Only because they come to us. Here we go. On this day.
March 7th.
In 1882. The Minnesota State Butter and Cheese Association was organized.
I can't give this away for free.
It was organized in Rochester. The group promoted dairy farming in the state and counted among its successes the Grand Sweepstakes Award for the best butter at the 1885 World Industrial and Centennial Exposition in New Orleans.
One of the categories was the butter face.
Okay. And then on this day, in 1913, early this morning, a plainclothes policeman was beaten and thrown out of a room at the St. Paul Hotel where members of the state legislature and their friends were said to be playing cards. Ooh. The officer returned with six more plainclothes men and exciting scenes followed, including the flight through a window, that's called defenestration, into another room by a man who had hit the first cop with his fist. Although at least one man is told to appear later in court, the entire matter was dropped while the legislators complained of a frame-up by the police to make trouble for members in disfavor with the city administration.
Wow. Tell me where and the year again. That's fantastic. I love that.
God, it would be quite revolutionary to this show if you actually ever listened to
it. Well, the hockey's on. And plus,
19,
you ended, you're milking this, man. I'm like, was it 3 o'clock already?
1913, St. Paul Hotel.
That is the, I love that story.
Do it again. I missed it.
On this day.
March 7th.
Can you do the Kia story again? No. Because I didn't catch it. Was it 4 or 5 times?
She had stolen 5 times.
Okay. Why? Why didn't she just get a club?
She had one.
What'd they do to it?
Will you stop answering him?
Did they break it?
All right, nice save.
Bob's open house starts at 2.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Thank you, GLers, and I apologize
for
who I'm stuck with.
Right.
And you can see all the people Joe's stuck with via a town council membership.
Stuck, you know.
Full video for 2 years you are, and full show audio, including before, during, and after show with the entire GL crew.
And we secretly placed a hidden cam in Joe's kitchen.
Of a town council membership. You'll even get your own official member card and a certificate directly from the mayor himself, along with invites to exclusive events. You can learn more about the town council and become a member just by going online to garagelogic.com.
Are we done?
Go, Ray.
It is time once again that we check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk. Josh Arnold is with us once again here in Garage Logic. And boy, now's the time for you to do the same. So do not delay. Do exactly what I did and pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and he is there for you for that free 48-minute financial consultation with always giving you the straight talk, never ever the sugar-coated advice. And he's on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And Josh, I know today that you would like to discuss interest rates, the Fed, and also artificial intelligence.
Well, let's just start off with the Fed, because I've been talking about the Fed and interest rates for a long period of time. And I've been harping on the Fed's mantra of higher for longer. So keeping short-term interest rates higher for longer in an effort to bring down inflation. Keep that thought, not only in the back of your mind, but in the front of your mind when you're thinking about interest rates. The Fed is going to keep short-term interest rates higher for longer until they see a sustainable move towards their 2% inflation target and inflation staying right around 2% for a significant period of time or sustainable period of time. The belief by many investment strategists, but not me, we can go back to the tapes, so to speak, Because even when many strategists, many forecasters, many of the talking heads have said that they expect this year the Fed to cut interest rates, you know, 6 or 7 times, I said, at maximum 3, and probably just once either in March or May, and then not until after the election, unless inflation comes down to their target or we enter into a recession, whichever comes first. Jay Powell, the Fed chair, just finished 2 days of testimony before both Congress and Senate on his Humphrey Hawkins testimony, and he continued to emphasize that higher for longer mantra. There has been some concern about banks and commercial real estate and some of the outstanding loans that banks have, and in particular, many of the regional banks that do have a lot of commercial real estate loans on the books. I am not an investor in banks for a whole bunch of reasons, but the loans on the books, and if they are heavy in commercial real estate, going to be a problem. Going to be a problem. So please, my suggestion in terms of investing in banks, don't. That's up there with several other sectors that are don'ts in my book. Earnings, switching gears, depending on the company and the sector, have been reasonably good. Technology earnings have been on the plus side. Retail earnings, there you really have a bifurcation between big companies like a Walmart, Costco, a Target, favorite Amazon, and some of the smaller retailers. Foot Locker, boy, they had a big problem, saw their stock drop from 30 down to 23, and Foot Locker no longer pays a dividend. Macy's is looking again to cut stores, and probably that means they're going to be cutting employees. Very difficult area to be in that section or sector. Again, be cautious. The place there where there is positive activity, still broadly speaking in technology, and in particular, the semiconductor space right now that's providing chips for artificial intelligence. And you need the super high-speed chips for not only for processing that are going to be used in large machines and in data centers specifically, also chips for storage, and that would also lead to people who help manufacture the chip. So places to look, even though these stocks are at all-time highs because of the excitement around artificial intelligence, might want to have at least a small exposure to them. Companies like Taiwan Semiconductor, Arm Holdings, ASML, Micron, AMD, NVIDIA, which has gotten a lot of hype as examples. You'd want to have some exposure there. But artificial intelligence is going to be around, and this is not a inflationary development. This is a deflationary development. So just keep that in the back of your mind and then take a look at how you can participate, because many, many companies are going to be involved, and companies that you might not think would be, but really are. So that would include some of the data centers, companies that are building the data centers. So pay attention to this trend. It is part of a new industrial revolution.
Excellent advice, as always, Mr. Money Talk. You heard him, GLers. Now's the time for you to pick up the phone and make the call for that free, yes, I said the word free, 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608, where you always get straight talk and never, ever sugar-coated advice. Josh, once again, thank you so much for the time and the chat. Have a great rest of your day, a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.